Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
I'm rereading right now the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. I don't know if there are any other folks in the room who are fans of C.S. Lewis and that particular series, but I have really fond memories of the series because we would read it to the boys when they were little, and I also have memories of listening to the Focus on the Family adaptation of it when we would travel. But it's great for kids, but it's great for adults as well, and I'm rereading those books. And if you don't know anything about the Chronicles of Narnia, it's a series of fantasy fiction, and it has a lot of Christian undertones to it. And one of the main characters in the story, his name is Aslan, and in the story, he's a Christ-like figure. And in the stories, one of the lines that I love is periodically it'll be used because something, the sense that something is about to happen or some things are changing, and they will use the line, Aslan is on the move. And so I want you to listen this morning as we get started with this sermon to something that someone wrote talking about Narnia and Aslan being on the move. Winter envelops Narnia. It's always winter, and it's never Christmas, as it has been for longer than anyone can remember. The White Witch holds all the land in an icy grip. The world is cold and gray and miserable. How long has it been since Narnia had hope? But rumors begin to spread. There's a feeling in the air. Something has changed. It's not a visible change, but something is different. Hearts quicken, souls stir, hope rekindles. It's a faint hope, a hope built on a desperate longing, a hope that is fragile and at risk of blowing away in the icy winds. Yet the good animals and the creatures of Narnia can feel it. They know it. Aslan is on the move. Aslan, the great lion, the creator and destroyer of worlds and kingdoms. Aslan, who brought the world of Narnia to life with a song. Aslan, whose very voice called the stars into existence. Aslan, who had full knowledge of the deeper magic before the world began, the deeper magic of sacrifice and grace and redemption. This Aslan is on the move. The good animals know it. The rivers and trees can feel it. The grass and the rocks quiver with it. Aslan is on the move. I love those stories. And I want to say to you this morning that I believe that God is on the move. God is on the move. And even as I say that to you today, I want to say two things about that. And the first is that God is always on the move. Amen? God is always on the move. And a verse that has really come to have a lot of meaning for me this year in particular is something that Jesus said in John chapter 5. And he said, "My Father is always working, and so am I." And what good words that is for us to hear and to remember that Jesus said then, and it is still true today, that His Father, our God, is always working, and Jesus is too. And so when I say God is on the move, that's the first thing I want to remind us of, is that God is always on the move. The second thing, though, I want to say about that is that very often the movement of God is mysterious in nature. In talking about the Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And that is very often the way that God's movement is experienced by us. We sense it, we feel it, we see something, we hear something, but it's like the wind, and we can't always tell where it comes from or where it's going. And we see that in the all through Scripture, but just one place that I was thinking about this morning is just the mysterious nature around the birth of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came into this world, so many things that God was doing, that He was on the move there, but yet there was a mysteriousness about it. Even just the fact that Mary had a baby while she was a virgin that was a son of the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, just that whole thing is mysterious to us. And prophecy had foretold that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. And God is going to be on the move to make sure that the baby is born in Bethlehem. And God could have done that in a lot of ways. But to me, the mysterious way that God did that is that he used, because Mary and Joseph are from Nazareth, but the baby has already been prophesied to be born in Bethlehem. And so God was at work back in Rome with a pagan emperor who decreed a census that moved people all over the world and moved Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem when it was time for the baby to be born. God is always at work. He's always on the move. But his work and his movement is very often mysterious and behind the scenes. And we have to be paying attention to what he is doing. So he's always on the move. It's very often mysterious. When I like it more is when it's so straightforward and I can see it more clearly. And we see that in the Gospel of Luke. Luke has this thing going on in his gospel that keeps moving Jesus toward Jerusalem. There's this sense all along that Jesus is moving toward something. And he starts out in the countryside and he does all kinds of great work, but there's this sense of movement. And in chapter 9, it really becomes clear. And it says there's a sense of change in Luke chapter 9. And it says, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. And from there on, it's just a straightforward move to take Jesus to Jerusalem, to what is going to happen in Jerusalem, and that is his death and then his resurrection. And so all through the Gospel of Luke, there's this movement toward Jerusalem. But Luke also wrote Acts. And I find it really interesting and fascinating that everything came to a head in Jerusalem and Jesus did the work that he was going to do there, and he was killed and he was resurrected. Then the Holy Spirit comes on the followers of Jesus there in Jerusalem. But in Acts, we get another sense of real strong movement, but this time the movement is out. Jesus was moving toward Jerusalem, but his followers are moving out from Jerusalem. And he even says to them, I want you to go, and I want you to go to Judea, and then to Samaria, and then just to the ends of the earth. And Acts ends almost without an ending in the sense that it is still happening. And his disciples and his followers are still moving out from Jerusalem as they participate in the work and in the move of God. And so I can confidently say to you on any and every Sunday that God is on the move. But this week in particular, several things happened in terms of people and conversations with me on Wednesday that it was just one of those overwhelming days for me that I could just sense and experience how much God was on the move. And I want to share some of that with you this morning. In the hope that it will inspire you, in the hope that it will encourage you, and in the hope also that it will spur you on. And it started Wednesday morning when I got to my office and there were two people waiting to talk to me. And one I knew was coming and the other I didn't know was coming. And the first one with Ruth Kaiser, and I have permission from them to say their names. First one with Ruth Kaiser, and Ruth has been a Christian for probably over 50 years. And has been close to the Lord all through those 50 years. But Ruth came to my office Wednesday morning and just began to share with me, just out of this joy that was welling up inside of her, some things that God had been doing in her life. And some things that God had been teaching her, because you can be a Christian for 50 years and still learn a lot from the Lord. And Ruth even sang a song to me that morning, and it just brought tears to my eyes. And we ended our time on our knees, literally in tears, just thanking God for his move and his work in Ruth's life and in her family's life. And that was just a really great way to start my day. And then Jonathan Smits was waiting to come in right after Ruth was. And Jonathan came in a whole different vein than Ruth had come in. Ruth left me in tears. Jonathan just left me grinning from ear to ear because of just how amazing God is. Because Jonathan has this wild story Jonathan mows yards, if you don't know. Jonathan has this wild story that he'll have to tell you sometime, but it involves a yard that was way overgrown and a lawnmower that broke down, and Jonathan on the phone saying, you know what I really need is a brush hog. And literally at that exact moment, this farmer preacher cruises down the road with his tractor pulling a brush hog. Jonathan connects with him. The guy ends up tearing up a gas main, and the city has to get involved. And it's a crazy story, but it's not over. And then because of that, Jonathan goes and finds this guy who's standing around talking to two other pastors in this little town in Oklahoma. And Jonathan talks to them about Awaken. And it may be that they're going to take Awaken to their little town in Oklahoma. I mean, it's just one of those crazy stories. It starts with an overgrown field. God is always at work, folks. He's always at work. And Jonathan just reminded me of that morning. And like I said, Ruth and I were on our knees crying, praying. Jonathan and I were just laughing and praying when he left at how God works. And then the day just continued for me like that Wednesday. Just there's more things that happened that I'm going to tell you about. But I want to share a text that I received that's about you that I received on Wednesday. And it's from someone who lives in another state. And these people, they're not Christians. They do not believe or follow Jesus Christ. But they have a family member who's a part of our church, and that many of you have helped care for. And the text was in connection with a contribution that they are making to our church. Here's what the text said. And this is praising God, but it's about you. They said, 10th and Broad is a real church. And you are doing God's work. I feel like I belong there more than anywhere because the church is the people. The church is people like Ruth and Steve and Joe and Ann and Gloria and Andy and the gentleman that I don't even know his name that came to my aid when I was dealing with my aunt. Then they end by saying, please don't change. You are an inspiration. And so God bless you. God bless you for being a part of the work that God is always doing. Because when God is on the move, very, very often he includes us in those moves. So thank you for the blessing that you are to people. And then Wednesday just kept going for me. That evening, Chad Nelson stopped me and he told me about a discipling relationship that was going to start the next day on Thursday at lunch. And this was a fellow officer that Chad's known for a long time, who is an avowed atheist, but who came to Chad and basically said, I want to know more about Jesus, and I know you know about Jesus, so would you help me? God is on the move. God is at work in people's lives all the time. And sometimes it's behind the scenes and we can't see it. And sometimes it is so straightforward and we can see it. And Chad looked at me after he told me that. And he's the one who said to me, God is on the move. And at that moment, I thought, boy, the church needs to hear some of these stories. I get to hear these stories. I get to experience your conversations and you telling me these things. But I want to share them with you because God is on the move. And I want it to inspire you and to encourage you and to spur you on to good works. And the two good works specifically that I want to encourage you with and spur you on toward this morning, as we just are reminded that God is always on the move, he's always at work, is I want to spur you on toward continuing to move forward in being disciples who are making disciples. And I want to ask you to continue to move forward as you just grow deeper and deeper and deeper in prayer. So when it comes to just being disciples who are making disciples, that's something we talk about a lot. We've got several different D groups that are going right now. Chad's starting a second one. Shane is getting ready to start one. We've had some folks who've done some training to be D group leaders. And honestly, we need more. We need more folks who will get themselves trained and get themselves ready to lead D groups, because we have people who want to be in groups. We have people who are asking questions about Jesus. We have people who are new Christians who need to be discipled, because we don't want to neglect our babies. And so I want to really encourage you and spur you on that God is at work and he needs more of you to join in and help us continue to be disciples who are making disciples. But I also want to tell you, leading a D group is not the only way that you are disciples who are making disciples. There's other ways that you can do that. Inviting somebody to come to our backpack blessing is a way that you can be a disciple making disciples. Making an introduction, making an invitation, bringing someone along with you is a great way to be a disciple making disciples. Loving and serving people is a great way to be a disciple who's making disciples. Just like that text illustrated. That person who doesn't know Jesus knows more about Jesus because of those in this room who have loved and served their family. We put a meal train out recently for a family who had been visiting. And when they visited, they said, "I'm not a Christian, but I really want to know more about God." And then I didn't see them for a while, and I wasn't sure what happened to them. Found out they were both very sick and in the hospital. And so we sent out a meal train, and many of you have ministered to them by sending them food this last week. Being a disciple making disciples comes up in all kinds of different ways. And so I just encourage you to continue to be looking with eyes that see that God is on the move and he's at work and he needs you to join in. He wants you to join in with them. We've got 20 different folks who all summer long have been going over to the apartments, the Woodview apartments in the Southern Hills school system. And they have been serving 40 different families and 60 different children this summer, delivering books, having conversations, asking how they can pray for the folks that they're meeting. And so I want to give an invitation to you that this Thursday is the last Thursday for the summer that a group is going to be going over. There's other ways we're going to be ministering, but this summer is the last Thursday that folks are going to be going over, and they're having a big snow cone party. And Vicki Baker has let me know that she wants to invite all of you who want to come to the Woodview Apartments at 7 o'clock Thursday night. And it'll just be a chance for you to represent the Lord and meet folks who live in those apartments that we've been meeting all summer long and enjoy a snow cone. So you are invited to come Thursday at 7 to the Woodview Apartments. There are so many ways for you to be involved in discipleship. That's the first thing I want to spur you on toward. The second thing is prayer. We've talked about prayer so much over the last few years. We have begun whole new practices of prayer, just like today for our day of prayer and fasting. And there's no way for me to overstate to you the importance of prayer. There's no way for me to overstate to you the power of God's people praying. And I believe with all my heart that every move of God that we are seeing is a direct result of prayers that you have been praying. We've prayed and we fasted during Awaken back in March. And we are seeing God answer very specific things that we ask him for in March. We are seeing people who are in D groups. We are seeing people who are coming to faith in Jesus. We are seeing a family being blessed by some things that were prayed about. And so thank you for the way that you prayed during Awaken, and thank God for the way that he is answering those prayers, because God moves when his church praise. And that's again why we are making prayer and fasting a part of the rhythm of our life. And then in October, kind of changing gears here, but it has to do with prayer. In October, as we focus on missions during that month, you're going to get to hear about a brand new mission opportunity that God has brought us. And it is the direct result of very specific prayers that I'm aware of that have been going on for 3 years. And I think you're going to be excited about it. And I know you're going to want to participate in it. And I ask you just to continue to pray the way that you have been praying, to push deeper and deeper and deeper into prayer. I want to encourage you to pray bold prayers. I want to encourage you to pray courageous prayers. I want to encourage you to pray audacious prayers. And don't stop praying them. Just keep on praying those kind of prayers, because that's the kind of God that we have. And He's on the move. And He's listening to His church, and He's responding to us, and He's giving us more than we can even ask or we can even imagine. And so I hope you signed up for an hour to pray during our 24 hours of prayer coming up at the end of this week. Right now, what I want to do is, just like we did last week, I want to give you a minute to fill out another prayer card, because you can fill out more than one prayer card. So we're going to take just a minute. There should be a prayer card on the seat that you're in or on a seat right around you. And again, I want to encourage you to pray bold prayers. Ask God for important and for big things. If you've got someone that you love who's sick, ask God to heal them, and we will join with you in that. If you've got someone that you know who has a need, ask God to meet that need, and we will join you in that. If you know someone who is lost because they don't know Jesus, ask God to save them, and we will join you. If you've got a dream for your family or for this church or for a ministry, boy, bring that boldly to the Lord. Let us know on that prayer card so that we can join with you. So let's just take a minute and fill out a prayer card. Make sure and put those cards in one of the white boxes as you leave this morning. And if you didn't get to sign up for one of the hours, we'll make sure that one of those sheets is on the back table, and you can do that this morning when you leave. Just want to end our time together in prayer, and then we're just going to worship God with this next song. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I'm very, very thankful this morning. I'm thankful that You are God, that You are the creator of life, of this world, of everything that is. It all came from Your imagination. All the beauty and all the wonder and all the majesty and all the intricacy and all the detail came from You, from Your character and Your mind and Your heart. And it came from Your voice. You spoke it into existence. And so just begin by thanking You for who You are, that You created us, that You created us with dignity and with freedom and choice and abilities and creativity, and You placed us here in a very special role to be the ones who bear Your image in this world. Thank You for honoring us in that way. And thank You that when we did not live up to that image, that You did not turn against us, but You became not just our creator, You became our redeemer, our restorer. And through Your Son Jesus, You have reconciled us back to You. And so thank You that not only are we Your creation, but that we're Your children. We're Your sons and Your daughters who have been adopted into Your family through Jesus Christ. And thank You that this life is not the end for us, but there is an eternity that is waiting where we will be with You forever. So thank You for all of that. And in the middle of life here, Father, in the middle of this world, in the middle of our daily lives and the grind and the routine and the pressures and the things that just go with living life here, thank You that You are not a distant God. Thank You that You're not a God who just set things in motion and stepped back, but thank You that You are always at work. think that you never, ever stop working. You don't sleep. You don't slumber. You constantly are at work to draw people to you, to save people, to bless people, to help and encourage. Thank you for the straightforward, clear ways that are just so obvious to us when we see you at work. And thank you also for the ability you have to work behind the scenes and in mysterious ways to bring about your purpose and your plan and your will for our lives. And Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you so much for this church, for these people, for their love for you, for their eyes of faith that are looking for your work, for their motivation and intention to join you in your work. I thank you for their prayers. I thank you for their ministry. I thank you for the way that you work through them. And I pray, God, that you would bless these people, bless this church, bless your church. And continue to involve us in your work. Continue to give us work to do. Continue, Lord, especially to bring people to us, to connect us to people who are looking for you and who want to know about your Son and life and forgiveness and salvation in Him. We want to be a part of that, Lord. And so we are about to sing about some things that only a holy God could do. And in this prayer and in that song and in our life, we confess and proclaim that you are that holy God.